Hello, CCO Land. Rashini Rajkumar with you. We've got quite a 2 o'clock hour in store. Thanks for all the fabulous texts and calls today. I love hearing from you. I don't always have time to get to every single text, but keep on listening, keep on texting. I do my best to get them on the air. And as you know, you can call in this segment. Whenever I have Amy Zellmer on, people call and text. The phone lines will be open the entire time she is here, 651-989-9226 and 866-989-9226. You can also text us, 81807. At 2:35, we will be talking with my Oscars panel of Richard Moody and Colin Covert. Can't wait to talk with them, but Amy has some really amazing information for you. You may remember Amy is a traumatic brain injury survivor. Pretty much exactly 2 years ago this month, she had a fall right outside her condo on the ice, which led to her story. She'll give you the quick on that momentarily. But she's got a big quest. That started a journey which made her a Huffington Post contributor. She is now a traumatic brain injury survivor and activist. And she's heading to D.C. For a big month in March. Welcome back, Amy.
Hey, Roshini. Thanks for having me on.
All right. First of all, give people just a quick reminder, your injury 2 years ago, pretty much exactly.
Yeah. It was February 3rd, 2014. As you said, I fell on the ice in my driveway, and it's a little bit of an incline. So my feet went out from under me, and I had no warning and landed smack on the back of my head.
Yeah. And that started a lot of doctor's appointments, chiropractic, a lot of different things.
Yep.
And what is the upshot now here at the 2 year anniversary? I have to say, can you ever be cured?
You know, there's no right or wrong answer. There's no knowing if for sure if I'll have a complete recovery. I'm definitely better than I was 2 years ago. I'm better than I was even a year ago. So I hope that I continue to keep getting better every year and see more and more improvements.
Some startling statistics. Every 13 seconds, someone will suffer traumatic brain injury. It is the number one cause of death for people ages 1 to 44. Wow, Amy.
Yeah. And, you know, people just don't even realize that. Every concussion is a brain injury. And the word concussion is just so downplayed, especially in the sports world. You know, oh, it's just a concussion. Get back in the game.
Although concussions have been getting a lot of attention.
They have been lately. Yes.
Lately. Yep. The past year, especially with the NFL, the NHL. But it isn't just about sports.
Right. I fell on the ice. A car accident, assaults, sports. Falls is the leading cause.
What is happening when someone has a traumatic brain injury? I mean, what can you tell us kind of the little science 101 on that? I mean, you don't have to be technical, but I mean, it can be a fall.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a big tackle on a football field.
Right. No. And you technically don't even have to hit your head, particularly in a car accident. You know, when you think of the whiplash motion, your head might not actually physically hit the windshield or the steering wheel, but your brain is floating in a sack of fluid inside your skull. And when you have that jolt to your head, the brain will make impact with your skull. And
got it.
That can also create a TBI.
I see. So it's not just, you know, you slip, you fall on the ice, you hit your head. It's a number of things. All right. You were also able to go to an event this month, just a few days ago, I understand. We had previewed it with a former Minnesota Viking who was there. When the doctor, the movie Concussion is based on, the doctor is based on his story and how he brought the news and the data of these concussions in the NFL to light. You saw him, right?
Yes. Dr. Bennett Umalu. He was portrayed by Will Smith in the movie Concussion, and he was at the Beth El Synagogue in St. Louis Park. They brought him in as part of their Inspiring Minds speaker series, and he was just phenomenal. He is just so passionate and energetic when he speaks. And his message is really about speaking the truth. Speak your truth, because that's what he had to do.
And what is he doing now? I mean, where has this journey gone for him?
Well, as you know, he He discovered, he discovered CTE, which is the disease that they have found in the autopsies of former NFL players from repetitive head trauma. And so he is still really active in helping get that cause out there and get it known. And he's really advocating to really make parents aware for youth sports. He has a feeling that youth under 14 shouldn't be playing full impact sports.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, we have to be 16 to drive, 18 to vote, 21 to drink. But yet kids as little as 5 and 6 are playing impact sports.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I grew up in Edina. I love hockey to this day. And some of my friends at the time, it was just guys, now girls and guys, were playing. They're on skates 2, 3 years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not to say they didn't fall, right?
Right.
I'm talking with Amy Zellmer. If you have a question for her about traumatic brain injury, give us a ring, give us a text. 81807 is the text line. 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226 are the phone lines. So any questions you have for her, if you are a TBI survivor or if you're concerned for your kids, maybe Amy has some answers for you. Share your thoughts, share your comments. So, Amy, March is not only Super Tuesday, but March begins, and it is National Brain Injury Awareness Month.
Correct.
What does that mean? Why should we care about this?
Well, you know, everybody knows that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Everybody knows pink is breast cancer, yet, you know, how many people understand blue is brain injury, green is traumatic brain injury, so just really getting that awareness out about this invisible injury that's just so misunderstood.
And if someone out there is a survivor like you, what's your best advice for how to live with it?
Well, you know, the first year after my injury, I really didn't know if I could live with it. It was horrible. And then I started gradually improving. I started getting some of the right treatments. And you start to learn coping mechanisms. And I think the biggest help for me was getting around other survivors and understanding that we're not alone in this journey, because it's very isolating. So to be around others that understand what you're going through and can relate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, give us this a quick preview. We're going to have to take a quick break, but you are leaving for D.C.
Yes.
You're going to be meeting with members of Congress.
Yes.
Tell us about that trip.
I'm headed to Washington, D.C. for Brain Injury Awareness Month, and Brain Injury Awareness Day is March 16th. And I'm going to be meeting with some of our local senators and speaking to support groups.
All right. We're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, we'll take your calls and text. Text line 81807, the phone line 651-989-9226.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Rashini Rajkumar back with you. I'm talking with Amy Zellmer. She is a contributor for The Huffington Post. She's a traumatic brain injury survivor and activist. She's heading out to D.C. shortly for Brain Injury Awareness Month. We'll talk a little bit about that trip, but I first want to get to your calls. Texts are open, 81807, or call us, 866-989-9226. Lene is on the line from Invergrove Heights. Hi, Lene.
Hi.
What's your question?
I have a disorder called conversion disorder, and it causes me to pass out between 5 and 100 times a week. And about 90% of the time, I hit my head. I go to the hospital maybe 2% of the time and get yelled at because they want to do CAT scans and MRIs. And they say that that's too much. And when I do go in, they always diagnose me with concussions. And I'm wondering what advice you would give me for the other percentage of the time that I'm not going in.
So your condition causes you to pass out. Do you get any symptoms before you pass out? Like some people get an aura or other indicators that they're going to be passing out?
Sometimes I get dizzy. My doctor suggested that I get a service dog now.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. You know, obviously, if you have a warning and can lay down and, you know, on a couch or a bed where you're not going to hit your head, that's great. The things to watch for would be, if you do hit your head, the things to watch for would be, you know, do you have this inability to stay awake? Like you just constantly feel the need to fall asleep. Or if you're extremely dizzy or have visual disturbances, those would be signs that you could possibly have some bleeding going on in your brain. So definitely I would call 911.
Yeah, that is really troubling. I mean, in Lene's situation, it must be just even hard to live day to day. I mean, I feel for her. Kathy is also calling in with a question for you. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Yeah, I have a question. I was in a car accident in 98 and along with my husband, and I was airlifted. I had a brain injury, a couple of jaw, well, both sides of my jaw were broken, but they didn't know that my left side was stuck into my brain cavity for 2 years. So they finally had to go and do some brain surgery. And so now with the scar tissue, I have seizures. So I'm on anti-seizure medicine. I am wondering, how do you deal with memory? Like now it's 2016. Is there any hope for helping my memory along? We've got five kids. The two of our two boys have also had the concussions at school. Our Becker schools are great with concussions. They're super educated, and the Minnesota Brain Injury Alliance has been following us.
So your question is about how to help with memory. And I know, Amy, you had to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still dealing with a lot of, especially short-term memory. I've developed a lot of coping skills, for lack of a better word. Like lots of post-it notes, lots and lots of post-it notes.
Even when we've booked you on the show, you kind of write it down, but then you always make sure you send an email and confirm it a couple times so it's in writing.
Absolutely. And I also will sometimes, I'll write it down correctly, and it'll be in the calendar for the right day, but then I keep thinking it's a different day. It's really weird. The brain is an interesting tool. But definitely coping skills, post-it notes, to-do lists, and also checking in. It sounds like you are involved with the Brain Injury Alliance, but also checking in with the Learning RX. They have a lot of exercises that they can help you. They did a lot of work with Ben Utek, former Minnesota Viking, to help him regain some of his memory.
All right, so these questions. Thank you, callers, for calling in, Lene and Kathy. It breaks my heart to hear that this is going to now be with them for the rest of their lives. But Kathy talked about an accident. Any of us, Amy, could be, have been in car accidents. So it isn't, again, we have to stress, it's not just when you play a sports at school or professionally.
Absolutely not. And it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care what your age is, what your race is. It doesn't care where you live.
It's an equal opportunity injury.
Yep.
So what are some of the symptoms in case someone doesn't have, you know, that obvious, oh, I may have a concussion, I need to go to the hospital?
Right. You know, if it's kind of a mild concussion, and you're just kind of not sure, should you take your kid in or not? You know, because it can take days for symptoms to even develop sometimes. So especially if your child has had an accident or your spouse, someone that you can observe, you know, are they acting loopy? Are they acting funny? Do they have delays when they talk? Are there extra pauses in their words? Are they saying the wrong words? Are they having dizzy or balance issues? Visual problems, anything like that, definitely you need to take them in.
Now, I will tell you that in my own life, just having Amy on all these times to talk about TBI, anytime because I happen to be a klutz. I am a world-class klutz. I really try, but I am a klutz. But if I ever even think, oh, I just bumped my head on this, I think of you, Amy, yes. And I think, what would Amy do? Should I be calling the doctor? Should, you know, or yeah. at least I watch myself for other symptoms. I know you have a big community on Facebook. Let's give everyone that page so yes. they can find you.
Yep. On Facebook, it's called the TBI Tribe. You can also find it through my website, which is facesoftbi.com. And it's up to about 3,500 members of survivors.
I see it now, 3,549 and
yep.
growing.
Yep.
And what is happening on the TBI Tribe? I mean, it sounds like Lene and Kathy, if they're not already part of it, this could be a good place
yes,
for them.
Yes, absolutely. I encourage anyone to join. People, it's just a good place to commiserate. Like, is this normal? Is this something I should expect? What have you guys done to cope with this? Stuff like that. And it's great for caregivers, too, to understand, because it can be frustrating as a caregiver. If you've never been through a TBI, you really can't understand what we're going through.
Right. And again, I like what you said. It's a place where all of you can go. A human need is, there are many human needs, but one is that affirmation to kind of feel like yeah. you're not in this alone.
Yep.
So here are some people who can affirm you're not crazy. You have an injury.
Absolutely.
And yes. the support that's there. All right, let's get back before we have to say goodbye to your trip to D.C.
Yes.
Who specifically are you going to be chatting with when you go to our nation's capital?
Yes, I have appointments set with Al Franken and Amy Klobuchar's office.
Our U.S. senators.
Yes.
What will you be talking with them about?
Yep, I'm going to give them a copy of my book so that they can understand more about TBI and some statistic fact sheets from the Brain Injury Association of America. And I'm going to ask them to join the Congressional Brain Injury Task Force and to become members of that at a federal level.
And why will that help?
You know, it just keeps continuing to bring awareness. And if we can get our senators on board at a federal level, and they can bring that back to a state level.
And as we were talking earlier, TBI, traumatic brain injury, is the number one cause of death between 1 in 44 year olds through 44 year olds. So that's a huge bracket of people.
Yes.
This is third overall behind cancer and heart disease.
Yes.
So it beats out breast cancer.
Yeah.
It beats
yeah.
out a lot of things. But the overall cancer and heart disease, number three, is traumatic brain
yes.
injury. Are these injuries preventable, Amy?
Definitely. You know, not in every single instance, but, you know, sports, make sure you're watching your kid, make sure they're playing with protective gear, you know, being very careful when you're walking on the ice. Like, I'm much more, I mean, not that I wasn't being careful at the time, but I'm much more aware of it now.
All right. Amy Zellmer, always a pleasure to have you in studio. How can people find your book?
It is available on Amazon and on my website, facesoftbi.com.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you
Good
for
luck
having
in
me.
Washington.
Thank you.
Amy Zellmer goes to Washington. please let us know. Send me an email and I'll share it with our listeners in March about how it went.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. And then I can't wait to talk about one of my favorite topics, the Oscars and movies. My Oscar panel, they're in the green room right now. Richard Moody and Colin Covert. They will be back with me and you when we return.
And any barmaid can be a star mate if she dances with or without a band. Hooray for Hollywood! When you're terrific, if you're even good, where anyone
else. All right, it's that time. I've been waiting for it all week. My Oscars 2016 panel. Two of our Twin Cities best looking and fun gentlemen are in studio with me. Yes, it's very fun to have them here. Let me introduce you to them. Colin Covert, a regular guest on our show, is movie critic for the Star Tribune. And Richard Moody, making his first appearance on my show, is an event planner and just style guru is what I want to call him, because he is always stylish himself. And what better person to give us some commentary on what we may see tonight from a production as well as a fashion standpoint. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hello.
Don't you just want me to introduce you every time you go into a room, Colin?
Well, he's hot. He should be introduced. You should see him, everyone.
He's looking great.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, we're here to discuss something very important. It's Hollywood's big night.
It is Hollywood's big night. And, Colin, usually we do talk Oscars with you every year. This is a little bit different of a year. There's a little bit of a cloud hanging over the Oscars. Second year in a row, no nominees, people of color. I'm hearing there
no
might
acting
be,
nominees, correct?
No acting, sorry, nominees. I hear that there could be some protests on the red carpet. What do you think we're going to see?
You know, you wonder. I mean, the red carpet, I mean, that's like, you know, that's like the Pentagon. I mean, you can't just
no
wander
kidding.
In there. You know, right. It's only people who are invited and permitted are going to be there. There might be a few people outside. But frankly, you know, after Will Smith and a couple
Jada.
Of his, Jada, that's right.
And Spike Lee.
Called upon people to withdraw. Not too many A-listers agreed. And in any case, you know, it is forbidden to have empty seats in the Oscar broadcast. There are going to be doubles there.
Exactly.
Even if anybody's staying home.
Exactly. It's not too hard of a theater to
yeah,
fill.
Yeah, yeah. So I think while it became a social issue of the moment and may affect future Oscars, other than giving really, potentially fantastic comedy material, I don't think it's going to have
yeah,
a huge
Yeah, I can't
effect.
Wait. Richard, I can't wait to hear Chris Rock's opening monologue.
Well, that's going to be kind of scary. I mean, I think people are on the edge right now to see how PC he may or may not be.
Right.
And I understand the Brits Awards are having some challenges as well with lack of diversity as too, aren't they?
The BAFTAs?
Yes.
I don't think so. I thought Idris
did pretty well
he
there.
Did. Yeah, yeah, he did. He's a hometown boy.
At least it wasn't a shutout.
Theodore's
right,
work.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Richard, in the grand scheme of event production, when you know you've got this social controversy going on, but it's also Hollywood's biggest night of the year, and frankly, we all grew up with the Oscars. How do you balance? And then you know you've got sometimes a loose cannon. Chris Rock is your host. I mean, believe me, I love him.
Right.
How do you deal as an event producer?
I think as an event producer, it's all about the timing in terms of the technical side. You've got the visual side. We've got assistance to all the stars. You've got assistance to the backstage people. So trying to get – it's all about timing, getting people in and out. And, you know, Chris Rock, if he goes a little over, if the speeches go a little over. So I think it can be hectic. You've probably got a lot of security on site, backstage, in the audience, trying to manage if any controversy steps up. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage all of that tonight, particularly this show.
Absolutely. So, Colin, from the pure critical, you know, artistic critical perspective, is it true that there really were no people of color who deserved nominations this year in the acting categories?
Well, no. But, I mean, you know, how these are so subjective.
They're so subjective.
You know, it's not like they're playing golf and one guy, you know, has got a 64 and the other guy's got a 62. And you know what that means.
It's not a
this
science.
This is like, what's my favorite? What did I like? What did I enjoy? It even comes down to what movie did I watch? There's a terrific movie, the one that Idris Elba, won the SAG Award and the BAFTA, called Beasts of No Nation. Which is amazingly good,
right.
But it was a kind of a threatening subject matter about child soldiers in Africa, and I think a lot of people just didn't want to watch it. I mean, it's kind of like Apocalypse Now, you know, it's a little too hard. They didn't watch it, and they missed a fantastic film and an amazing performance. He really deserved a nomination this year, and it's a mistake that he didn't get it. But that's my opinion.
And then
you know,
there are
everybody
some
who
years...
watches, everybody who votes on that is just saying this is my opinion.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's true. I mean, I just remember when I was in TV news and the Emmys are for news are regionally awarded. So we would get when I remember when I was in Nashville TV, we got let's say it was Ohio's, you know, contestants. And, you know, someone brings in it's whoever will volunteer to stay after work that day, review these candidates. And the news director brings in pizza. So we at least have food. And if we get to all of them, we get to all of them. If we don't, we don't. I mean, it's that subjective.
Exactly. And, you know, here you've got 2 years where what everybody liked best were movies that didn't have a lot of black faces in them. You know, is that an expression of racism? I think that'd be really hard to prove. I think it's more like, you know, this year, you know, not the right number of films were made, you know, not the right number of films were produced, not the right number of stories were told to represent that diversity in the world. And that's why people voted how they did, not because they disliked something. Not at all.
Right. But also with diversity, shouldn't they have more diverse people on the panels who are making some of the decisions? I think if we get away from the old boy network, put more people of color. If it's Indians or African Americans or Black Americans,
it does
or more
sound
women.
Like that is one of the things that's being
right.
heard.
But late again, it's 2 years late into the process.
Yes,
we keep coming back with these angry moments where if they know this is a conversation going into it, we could alleviate some of it if they look for diversity, men and women and gays and straights versus the old boy network.
Yeah.
Open it up.
Yeah, and that does seem like something that the Academy is going to pay attention to in coming years. But, you know, does that mean that this is a pivotal moment of change for the Oscars? You know, only time will tell. And, I think it's a big ship, and I think it changes direction slowly.
Okay, I wanted to get that from both of you. So we got some of that controversy down. We've addressed it. I'm talking with my Oscars panel. If you want to chat with them or ask a question, give us a text, 81807, or feel free to call 651-989-9226. All right. I was just about to do this, folks. One person said, can we get to the picks? Yes, we're getting to the picks. On a good note, on a positive note, we've got some wonderful performances in the Best Actor category, Colin. And it seems like Leonardo DiCaprio has it. Could we see
Is
an upset?
Is he up this year? I didn't know that.
Could
didn't
we
hear
see
that.
An
didn't
upset
hear that.
Tonight?
Well, you know, how could he not? I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's the most muscular and, you know, dramatic performance that's up there. I mean, he plays this real life guy who was actually attacked by a bear, and then he spent, you know, most of a year trying to get revenge against the people who left him to die when he wasn't quite ready to die. And it's terrific. I mean, they shot it out there in the freezing cold. He's eaten, you know, raw liver to portray this character. It's the kind of acting that they love. So, yeah, you know, add to that the fact that he's been nominated, what, I believe 5 times previously and hasn't won, even though he's deserved it. Yeah, I mean, you know, call it a Lifetime Achievement Award this time if you want to look at it that way. But, you know, he is so likely to win that the British betting pools, which always do this every year,
yeah.
they've taken his bet off the board.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, okay, that's we're done with that.
You got to laugh out of Chris on that one. Oh, wow, that never happens.
Did you lose, Chris?
I get my $10 back.
Well, and speaking of that, I want to point out this amazing article from Julianne Exter in Inc. magazine, What Leonardo DiCaprio Can Teach Us About Perseverance. And she talks about how he sat there not once, not twice, but 4 times as the Academy Award went to someone else. But after every single snub, she says, my man went back and acted in something better. Which, you know, you got to look at the roles he chooses. And this one was just grueling. Richard, have you seen this one yet? I can't wait to see it. I have not seen it
yet. I haven't.
I
want to see it. It sounds intense. It sounds like a cabin.
Yeah,
movie.
Chris saw it. It was kind of troubling.
I loved it. I think it's the best movie I've seen in over a decade.
It's astounding. It's amazing. It's poetic.
Amazing.
And look who he's running against. Yeah. Bryan Cranston. Somebody tell me who Bryan Cranston played this year.
Right.
Dalton Trumbo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You just looked that up.
Okay. I saw it. But I mean, gave us the movie.
Watched. But I mean, you know, Michael Fassbender. You know, he's fine. He's an excellent actor, but he's playing, you know, Steve Jobs, who is not the most likable guy in the world.
Right.
You know, you don't want to vote for that guy.
You see that? Wow.
And then, it had a lot of detail as well. A lot of conversation in it, right?
Yeah. It wasn't a bad performance, but it's nothing like what Leo did. And you know, Eddie Redmayne, who won last year,
right?
You know,
I saw him in The Danish Girl.
It's kind of a fascinating performance,
yeah.
But it's not the only good thing. And you know, he's just brand new, for heaven's sakes.
Exactly.
He's been working at this for a while.
Right.
Matt Damon in The Martian, you know, he's fine, but it's a big ensemble movie, and he's not, you know, is he really the most important star in the
So it would be stunning, Colin, if Leo did not win.
I would weep. I would weep.
And he doesn't weep often. My Oscars panel is in the house. We will take a break and then your calls and texts. Give us a ring, 651-989-9226 or text 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You tell me hold your head up, hold your head up. And be strong, 'cause when you fall, you gotta get up, you gotta get up and move on. Tell me how the hell can you talk, how can you talk?
The amazing sounds of Lady Gaga, nominated for the song Till It Happens to You. She will perform tonight. As you know, she's becoming sort of a darling of the Oscars, having brilliant performances, and then recently at the Grammys doing a retrospective and tribute to David Bowie. So lots of interesting things. Richard, we are going to see something else tonight. We're going to see fashion.
We are.
Any predictions on who's going to get it right?
You know, I think Jennifer Lawrence will probably definitely get it right. She's got amazing stylists. You know, she's young, she's classic, she's curvy. I think she's adventurous, but she's also willing to step out and be elegant and be a part of the moment. So I think she'll get it right.
All right, Colin, do you have any predictions on the fashion?
I think the guys will wear a lot of tuxedos, and that's what I'm worth. Fashion is a little bit beyond me.
All right, so I'm looking at the Best Actress nominees: Cate Blanchett, Brie Larson, Jennifer Lawrence, Charlotte Rampling, mm-hmm. and Saoirse Ronan.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Brie Larson or Saoirse Ronan, Richard? Do you remember who has really been? I mean, they've both been doing well on the red carpet. I feel like it's Brie Larson who's had some amazing gowns at all the awards so far this season.
She's doing very well, but once again, they all have stylists.
Right,
and when they're fashionable, they're up, they're daring and creative. I think that works for them. So
right.
I think there's going to be a lot of hits for her, and there may be some misses, but I think come Oscar time, everyone's elegant, they're girly, they're into feminine, vintage plays a lot of the parts, but they go after the designers. Couture, I think all the couture designers are going to be stepping up and dressing the stars as well.
I wish we still had Joan Rivers. Who are you wearing? That was the best question
that's
anybody
the line
ever got
she's
asked.
Quoted. I mean, that's her
yeah,
line.
Yeah,
right.
Joan was amazing on the red carpet. I will miss her dearly.
Because the nice thing about her is there was something she didn't like. She made it pretty clear she didn't like it.
Yeah. And then the Fashion Police show after the day
the
later
recaps.
On E! Would recap.
Yeah.
And that show just isn't the same.
You know, I read something interesting this week that really the stylist for the red carpet didn't come in vogue, especially for the Oscars, until like the mid-90s.
Really?
And before that, like a lot of these stars were allowed to make their own choices and kind of run with
Remember
it.
Remember Sharon Stone wore a Gap shirt once?
That was the, sort of the part
with
of the
beautiful
conversation.
Gown.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because of Joan Rivers' contributions and the way if she would trash people, it would sort of hurt their career.
Yes.
So that's when everybody started using
the
stylist.
We can, Joan, who may be up in heaven, I will say, I loved you. And she really can be credited with really bringing these stylists out, making men and women think about what they're wearing.
I thought it was Bjork who brought the stylists
well,
out.
Well, remember the swan? That?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, talking about the men, I think we also need to make sure that the men are getting their suits fit it. I mean, I think, pure a friend of mine, Dan Kapp, is here at Atmosphere, says, they need to get stylists. They also need to get tailors and look at the bigger picture. The women are spending all day, manicure, pedicure, faces, hair, makeup. The dudes just kind of show up. Pants are too long and crinkling and shoes aren't polished.
Well, you know who I would love to see? One of my favorites on the red carpet, and he won last year, Jared Leto.
Yeah.
I will love to see what he does with his hair,
the man
what he
bun,
wears, whether it's a man bun,
facial
or he wears
hair.
It down. Yeah, I mean, he can do no wrong in my book. So we'll see. But anyway, we've got some calls and texts coming in. If you have a comment for our Oscars panel in the remaining minutes we have with them, 81807, give us a text or call 651-989-9226. All right, any surprises that you predict tonight, Colin?
You know, it kind of snuck up on me as a surprise. I never expected that Brie Larson would be considered the odds-on winner for Best Actress. I mean,
I agree.
You know, she's sort of a newcomer, but not. I mean, she's 26 years old, and she's been acting for about 18 of those 26. So, in a sense, she's got a lot of experience. But she's never been anything like a star until very, very recently. And I think it is the I think it's the subject matter and the emotional heft of the film more than anything that has put her at the top. It's about a woman who spends a year's kidnapped with her 5-year-old son, and then they're released to the world, and they try to recreate their bond in very difficult new circumstances. And it's touching and it's hard and all that. But to me, it wasn't nearly the best performance this year. But it's like, she told a story that a lot of voters reacted to and thought, I feel that. I kind of know that.
Yeah.
Well, good for her.
The other one, I was surprised, Saoirse Ronan getting actress in a leading role nomination for Brooklyn.
Well, when you see that movie, you're not surprised.
I saw that movie.
Oh, she's just, you, really?
I did.
My Lord.
Well, so this
her
again,
eyeballs with the look of one of those brilliant blue eyeballs, she can say more than an entire
script. Okay, well, thank you for helping me look at it differently. But here, again, we're proving your original point. It's subjective. It is subjective. Chris, did you have a comment on
Trousy? She was awesome. I loved it.
I don't disagree with you. She was terrific. I just didn't think she deserved
an
Oscar
this whole...
I think she got it because of her name. She has a cool name.
But that's what drives me crazy because I'm a movie critic, right? And every week I get from somebody. Every week I get from like five people, I can't believe we saw the same movie.
Yep.
And my standard response these days, I finally figured this out, is guess what? Yesterday, 7 billion people experienced the day differently.
It's true.
It's all different.
No, and again, don't text me mean text. I like the movie. I love Saoirse Ronan. Just wasn't sure.
I love her more.
Okay,
I love her a lot more.
Obviously, you and Chris love her more.
I love her.
But the point is, that's the thing. The Oscars still has a brand, right? So what I'm reacting to is, that's the best of the best in movies. And if you're going to get nominated, there are people on this list and movies on this list I didn't think deserved it. But it, you know what? Suck it up, Rashini. They got it. They're part of this brand identity now.
It's really interesting to me, too, how this reaches out to moviegoers. Because what's listed here, you know, there are some movies that made some good money. Revenant made good money. It's about $300 million worldwide. But this the movie that Brie Larson was in, Room, has made $21 million, which is basically nothing.
That's like lunch for the crew.
Exactly.
Okay, it has been a fabulous Oscars panel. Really quickly before we leave you, Colin Covert, Richard Booty, your pick. Who do you think is going to win Best Picture tonight?
Well, it's got to be The Revenant.
The Revenant?
Yeah, Richard? But it's a very close race.
Okay. Well, I'm in the Mad Max.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the Fury.
And these are what, the ones that had the top two overall nominations? Didn't Revenant get 12 noms?
Yes, I believe it did. And Mad Max, if I'm remembering this right, got 10.
10.
Which is always a good sign.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Very good. Well, thank you, both of you. Always very interesting. Very fun to talk Oscars with you. Maybe not as fun or as fun. Next week, we'll preview the legislative session that starts on March 8th. What's that?
The fashion is terrible.
Yeah,
they don't try.
Richard's stylings. On March 6th, we will have a Democratic and a Republican senator in the House to preview the new session that is short that starts on March 8th. We'll also have, it is March. March is Women's History Month. And in honor of Women's History, we're going to kick off a 4-week series called Four Women to Know. Each Sunday, you will meet a dynamic woman from a different age bracket, from a different background, a different culture. Am I promoting it enough, Richard? Does it sound like an event?
I love the diversity.
Does it sound like an event?
I want to be here.
The diversity will be there. You'll hear different ages, different viewpoints, and what they're doing to make our community better. I can't wait for you to meet each one of them every Sunday in March. As always, we're here, Chris Elston on the boards, Rashini Rajkumar here, your host, every Sunday from 12 to 3. And guess what? Tomorrow I'll be back. I'm in for John Hines. So tune in, 9 a.m. to noon. We'll probably talk now about the winners. I'm previewing with these guys. We'll talk about the winners tomorrow. So you'll have to listen, call in, text in, do your part. And we'll also preview Super Tuesday. It'll be interesting to see, probably less predictable than the Oscars, what's going to happen on Super Tuesday, which is, as you know, coming up. Minnesota's part of it for what we believe is the first time, although I feel like it's happened before, but my political panel was telling me it's the first time Minnesota is part of Super Tuesday. That will be big. Well, we hope that you will join us tonight to watch the Oscars. I can't wait to see them. And I definitely hope you'll be back next Sunday with me, 12 to 3. Meantime, Rashini Rajkumar signing out. Make it a fabulous week.